Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk...
Total abandonment, dying with Jesus, and then letting him raise us up, and that enables us to be truly free. This whole thread is about living freely, freedom in Christ. A freedom that is only found in Jesus. But I want you to understand this one thing, and if you take nothing else away from this morning, just take this one thing. That freedom in Christ does not equal anything goes. Freedom in Christ does not equal anything goes. Paul calls us to set our hearts and our minds on the things above, on God's kingdom ways.
Walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people...
In other words, the ways associated with everything lining up with how God would have it be. That's my simple definition of God's kingdom, where everything lines up with how God would have it be. He calls us to set our minds on his ways, in the spiritual, where everything lines up with how it should be, and then to bring that into the physical as well. But that means that we're not just to be super spiritual with our heads up in the clouds somewhere, because what we do with our bodies, what we do with our minds, what we do with our thinking, the way we live our life, all of that here on earth matters. And
holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Last week we were looking at the end of chapter 2, and we saw in that Paul seemed to blow away all notion of living by law or rules in whatever form. It just seemed to just brush it all aside. If you weren't here, then do catch up with that. You can either listen to the podcast, or I write up a summary of messages, both available on the website. Just find the connect button and connect sermon messages, or message audio or message blog, and you can either listen or read it. It's definitely worth a listen, especially if you're a parent of teenagers, because we had some stuff there about parenting teenagers in there, so it is worth catching up. But basically, Paul was blowing away all this notion of living by laws or rules. He said it's just mere elemental. And so Paul starts spelling it out, and he does it in verses 5 and 8 by listing negative things. And he lists out this stuff in the negative. And he dives straight in there with verse 5, straight in on sexual immorality and impurity. That's great. What a place to start. I'm pleased to start with the sex business, because it will mean that you pay attention for the next few minutes, because we'll talk about sex. So he dives straight in with that. And basically what he's saying is what we do with our bodies matters. Remember that God, as we saw last week, when it comes to this stuff, God is not just drawing arbitrary lines through the spectrum of possible human behavior. He's not just drawing arbitrary lines. He's not some kind of celestial killjoy either. But what we do with our bodies matters. Let's remember that fundamentally, sex is good. But it's not simply the physical act. And it's not simply the physical acts that stimulates various nerves in various special parts of our bodies, that sends messages up to our brain, that releases various chemicals and endorphins and all that good stuff. All that is included. All that is the biology of it. All that is part of being fearfully and wonderfully made by against no use. And so here in chapter 3, he starts with since then. But the since then actually refers not back just to the stuff last week, but actually way, way back to chapter 2, verse 6, where he writes, just as you have received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Especially verse 12 of that passage, where he writes, yourself buried with Jesus, now raised with him through faith in God who raised Jesus. What we're looking at now in chapter 3, it all is one long thread that starts way back in chapter 2, verse 6. We'll actually cover that passage in a couple of weeks. But it is not just that. This is a key message. If you ever ask me to give a sex talk to young people, this will be the key thing that I say. Sex is not just the physical act. It is also the emotional, and this is the point I try and land with the young people, it is also the emotional, it is also spiritual. And that's why what we do with our bodies matters here on earth. Paul goes on with lust, evil desires, greed. This is what we do with our minds and our thoughts. How we look at others, how we look at stuff and money. And with stuff and money, it's time when Flo is baptized. I deliberately kind of rearranged things to use that passage at the end of a month. But the whole thread flows from that. You have died with Christ and now raised with him. So since you've done that, now this stuff in chapter 3. It all relates to our putting our lives in Christ and having Christ in us. That new life in Christ, dying with Jesus, who died on the cross, and being raised with Jesus to new life. In other words, a whole life turnaround, a radical transformation, a completely different way to live. He spells it out. Greed, that's putting stuff as some kind of God and therefore putting it above the true God, and the definition of that is idolatry right there. What we do with our minds and our thinking can lead us to put stuff above God, and that's not good. He goes on, anger and rage. These are un-God-like expression flowing from us, flowing out of us. He ploughs on, malice, slander, bad language, lying. All of this is about how we act towards others and what we say. And if you look at those, the malice, total abandonment, dying with Jesus, and then letting him raise us up, and that enables us to be truly free. This whole thread is about living freely, freedom in Christ. A freedom that is only found in Jesus. But I want you to understand this one thing, and if you take nothing else away from this morning, just take this one thing. That freedom in Christ does not equal anything goes. Freedom in Christ does not equal anything goes. Paul calls us to set our hearts and our minds on the things above, on God's kingdom ways. Slander, bad language, lying, all of those have something in common. All of those undermine truth. And so it's important and to recognize, and Paul is very clear. He says, look, if we're to be following Jesus, if we're to be living the resurrection life that he gives and he promises, then there's no place for that stuff. We need to put it to death. Get rid of this stuff. Don't entertain it. Don't flirt with it. Don't even go there. Just get it out of the system. Put it to death. And he uses this strong... In other words, the ways associated with everything lining up with how God would have it be. That's my simple definition of God's kingdom, where everything lines up with how God would have it be. He calls us to set our minds on his ways, in the spiritual, where everything lines up with how it should be, and then to bring that into the physical as well. But that means that we're not just to be super spiritual with our heads up in the clouds somewhere, because what we do with our bodies, what we do with our minds, what we do with our thinking, the way we live our life, all of that here on earth matters. And stark language of death to say there's no place for it. Jesus actually said the same thing. I mean, as we saw last week, Paul, in writing this stuff, he's really just echoing what Jesus had taught. Because Jesus said, look, if your right hand causes you to do wrong, you're better off cutting off your right hand. Put it to death. Get rid of it. It's the same principle. Now, here's the thing. Paul knows that while we are alive this side of eternity, these kind of things are going to lurk in us. He has a word for it, a Greek word. It translates to fleshly nature. And what he's kind of saying is that... So Paul starts spelling it out, and he does it in verses 5 and 8 by listing negative things, and he lists out this stuff in the negative, and he dives straight in there with verse 5, straight in on sexual immorality and impurity. That's great. What a place to start. I'm pleased to start with the sex business, because it'll mean that you pay attention for the next few minutes, because we'll talk about sex. So he dives straight in with that. And basically what he's saying is what we do with our bodies matters. Remember that God, as we saw last week, when it comes to this stuff is there, it's under our skin. It's there, part of our bodies, in our skin, all the time. And so Paul knows that when he talks about putting to death, when he talks about killing it off, he knows that this is a clear decision that we have to take. But it's not just a one-off decision, we've made the decision and that's it. It's a clear decision we have to take and then keep taking for the rest of our lives as we follow Jesus. An ongoing daily decision. So in that sense, it's like addictions. And we have this discussion many times at the cafe on a Monday where we're talking. God is not just drawing arbitrary lines through the spectrum of possible human behavior. He's not just drawing arbitrary lines. He's not some kind of celestial killjoy either. But what we do with our bodies matters. Let's remember that fundamentally, sex is good. But it's not simply the physical act. And it's not simply the physical act that stimulates various nerves in various special parts of our bodies, that sends messages up to our brain, that releases various chemicals and endorphins and all that good stuff. All that is included. All that is the biology of it. All that is part of being fearfully and wonderfully made by with people who struggle with alcohol addiction or drug addiction. And those people who struggle in that way, when even if they have been sober for months and months and years, if they are honest, they will say, I am an alcoholic. Even if they're in full recovery and have been sober for many, many years, they have to, in their honesty, say, I am an alcoholic. This stuff is in under my skin. It is like with me for life. But the good news is that in Jesus, I can let that die and resolve that I don't want to live like that anymore. I can't live like that anymore. It would God. But it is not just that. This is a key message. If you ever ask me to give a sex talk to young people, this will be the key thing that I say. Sex is not just the physical act. It is also the emotional, and this is the point I try and land with the young people, it is also the emotional, it is also spiritual. And that's why what we do with our bodies matters here on earth. Paul goes on with lust, evil desires, greed. This is what we do with our minds and our thoughts, how we look at others, how we look at stuff and money, and with stuff and money physically kill me. So I'm going to go forwards without that stuff. And here's the thing, the honest and sensible will then say, and so I am not going to put myself in a situation of risk with the drinking or whatever it is. Any situation that becomes edgy, I am going to negotiate myself out of to avoid the risk. But let me tell you this, you might be sitting there thinking, well, that's okay because I'm not alcoholic, I don't have this addiction. It's the same deal for all of us. It's just that our weak spot is different. But we all, he spells it out, greed, that's putting stuff as some kind of God and therefore putting it above the true God, and the definition of that is idolatry right there. What we do with our minds and our thinking can lead us to put stuff above God, and that's not good. He goes on, anger and rage. These are un-God-like expression flowing from us, flowing out of us. He plows on. Malice, slander, bad language, lying. All of this is about how we act towards others and what we say. And if you look at those, the malice we have, weak spots in one area or another, something under our skin that is there and will be there, which in Christ we have to put to death and say, I want this aspect of me to be dead. And there are things that I need to consciously and actively avoid, because for me that's an edgy situation and I just don't want to go there. So I will avoid it. All of us finding new life in Christ have this together. Paul writes in verse 11, he says, those in this Christ renewing deal, all of those, for them there is no, and then he gives categories of people, Gentile or Jew, so slander, bad language, lying, all of those have something in common. All of those undermine truth. And so it's important and to recognize. And Paul is very clear. He says, look, if we're to be following Jesus, if we're to be living the resurrection life that he gives and he promises, then there's no place for that stuff. We need to put it to death. Get rid of this stuff. Don't entertain it. Don't flirt with it. Don't even go there. Just get it out of the system. Put it to death. And he uses this strong, that is the non-Jewish people and the Jewish people. He repeats it with circumcised or uncircumcised. And then he introduces some other categories that don't make much sense to us, barbarian or Scythian. Maybe barbarian makes sense to us. Slave or free. He's basically saying, look, we're all following Christ in this together. Those categories don't matter. So don't be looking across the church and thinking, oh, yeah, them, whoa, they really struggle because they are those people. We're in this together. All those categories, all those distinctions drop away. We're all called to put stuff to death in Christ. Stark language of death to say there's no place for it. Jesus actually said the same thing. I mean, as we saw last week, Paul, in writing this stuff, he's really just echoing what Jesus had taught. Because Jesus said, look, if your right hand causes you to do wrong, you're better off cutting off your right hand. Put it to death. Get rid of it. It's the same principle. Now, here's the thing. Paul knows that while we are alive this side of eternity, these kind of things are going to lurk in us. He has a word for it, a Greek word. It translates to fleshly nature. And what he's kind of saying is that, and be raised to new life in him. So we kill stuff off. And we put on with a new life. This is what Paul writes, says, being renewed in the image of the Creator. In other words, setting things back to how God originally intended. See how that ties in nicely with my definition of kingdom, where everything lines up with how God intends it to be. Renewing in the image of the Creator, setting things how God originally intended, lining things up with how God intended it to be. That's why we talk about kingdom life. In our renewing, it's this stuff is there, it's under our skin. It's there, part of our bodies, in our skin, all the time. And so Paul knows that when he talks about putting to death, when he talks about killing it off, He knows that this is a clear decision that we have to take. But it's not just a one-off decision, we've made the decision and that's it. It's a clear decision we have to take and then keep taking for the rest of our lives as we follow Jesus. An ongoing daily decision. So in that sense, it's like addictions. And we have this discussion many times at the cafe on a Monday where we're talking, coming reset to how God intended and learning to live with things lining up how God intended it to be. It all goes together. So putting on is living the Jesus way, having your thoughts, your attitudes, your heart, what you do renewed to align with His desire. And that goes with it, with the prayer that we looked at in Colossians 1. It's on the board there, of knowing God's will, walking with Him in a way that is pleasing to Him. It's all the same theme. And that's why as a church, through this term, we're encouraging, pray for each other, to know God's will, to be full of the knowledge of His will, to live the life pleasing to Him, to live a life that lines up with how God, with people who struggle with alcohol addiction or drug addiction. And those people who struggle in that way, when even if they have been sober for months and months and years, if they are honest, they will say, I am an alcoholic. Even if they're in full recovery and have been sober for many, many years, they have to, in their honesty, say, I am an alcoholic. This stuff is in under my skin. It is like with me for life. But the good news is that in Jesus, I can let that die and resolve that I don't want to live like that anymore. I can't live like that anymore. It would be what originally intends it to be, to line up with how God intends it to be going forward. So with putting on, there are positive things we can do. Stuff that Paul lists in verse 12. He uses this image of clothing yourself, putting on clothes. And he says, put on compassion, put on kindness, put on humility, put on gentleness, put on patience, bear with each other, add the clothing of forgiveness, and finally, the best outer coat of all, put on love. Think of this for an image. Someone who has been in prison for years, and in prison they wear certain prison clothing, but then physically kill me. So I'm going to go forwards without that stuff. And here's the thing, the honest and sensible will then say, and so I am not going to put myself in a situation of risk with the drinking or whatever it is. Any situation that becomes edgy, I am going to negotiate myself out of to avoid the risk. But let me tell you this, you might be sitting there thinking, well, that's okay because I'm not alcoholic, or I don't have this addiction. It's the same deal for all of us. It's just that our weak spot is different. But we all comes the day of the release, and the prison guard comes to the cell, opens the cell and leads them out and say, it's your release day, follow me. He takes them down to a room, and just before they get to go to the outside world, what happens in that room is they take off their prison clothing and put on the clothing appropriate for living outside in the free world. Use that image for ourselves in following Christ, in being set free in Jesus. It's time to lose the old prison clothing and now put on the clothing that is appropriate. We all have weak spots in one area or another, something under our skin that is there and will be there, which in Christ we have to put to death and say, I want this aspect of me to be dead. And there are things that I need to consciously and actively avoid, because for me that's an edgy situation and I just don't want to go there. So I will avoid it. All of us finding new life in Christ have this together. Paul writes in verse 11, he says, those in this Christ renewing deal, all of those, for them there is no, and then he gives categories of people, Gentile or Jew. So for living free in Christ, that clothing is the compassion, the kindness, the humility, the gentleness, the patience, the bearing with each other, the forgiving and the love. That is the clothing of the freedom in Christ. But one final thought while we're talking about putting on clothing. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that it's just about outer appearances. We all know that someone can look good, but still be rotten on the inside. We know that. And Jesus talked about this stuff. He talked about the people who look good, but actually on the inside, they're just nowhere spiritually. In fact, they're going. That is the non-Jewish people and the Jewish people. He repeats it with circumcised or uncircumcised. And then he introduces some other categories that don't make much sense to us. Barbarian or Scythian. Maybe barbarian makes sense to us. Slave or free. He's basically saying, look, we're all following Christ in this together. Those categories don't matter. So don't be looking across the church and thinking, oh yeah, them, whoa, they really struggle because they are those people. We're in this together. All those categories, all those distinctions drop away. We're all called to put stuff to death in Christ in the opposite direction. It's never just about the outwards things that we can do. The things listed here, the compassion and so on, are very real and helpful. But they have to go with inner transformation. It can't just be outer garments with a rotten core. It has to go with inner transformation. But for that inner transformation to occur, something or some things need to die. Jesus showed the way by dying on the cross. Fully physically dead. And be raised to new life in him. So we kill stuff off. And we put on with a new life. This is what Paul writes, says, being renewed in the image of the Creator. In other words, setting things back to how God originally intended. See how that ties in nicely with my definition of kingdom, where everything lines up with how God intends it to be. Renewing in the image of the Creator, setting things how God originally intended, lining things up with how God intended it to be. That's why we talk about kingdom life. In our renewing, it's but then raised by God to the new resurrection life. This is why we, as followers of Jesus, as Countess Free Church, this is why we are unashamedly a people of the cross and his resurrection. This is why we regularly rehearse the whole deal that Jesus went to the cross, died and then rose again. That's why we rehearse it with a communion and taking the bread and the wine as just simple things to enable us to retell the story, because Jesus died on the cross, raised new life, and we need to die too with him and allow his resurrection. Coming reset to how God intended, and learning to live with things lining up how God intended it to be. It all goes together. So putting on is living the Jesus way, having your thoughts, your attitudes, your heart, what you do renewed to align with his desire. And that goes with it, with the prayer that we looked at in Colossians 1. It's on the board there. Of knowing God's will, walking with him in a way that is pleasing to him. It's all the same theme. And that's why as a church, through this term, we're encouraging, pray for each other, to know God's will, to be full of the knowledge of his will, to live the life pleasing to him, to live a life that lines up with how God life in our lives. And rehearse that over and over again as the people of the cross, to allow that inner transformation, because that is the only way, that is the narrow gate that Jesus talked of death and resurrection, to live in a transformed life, to enable you to truly put on the clothing of compassion and kindness and so on. This is the call on our lives. The musicians are going to help us process that now. They're going to sing "When I Survey." God originally intends it to be to line up with how God intends it to be going forward. So we're putting on, there are positive things we can do. Stuff that Paul lists in verse 12. He uses this image of clothing yourself, putting on clothes. And he says, put on compassion, put on kindness, put on humility, put on gentleness, put on patience, bear with each other, add the clothing of forgiveness, and finally, the best outer coat of all, put on love. Think of this for an image. Someone who has been in prison for years, and in prison they wear certain prison clothing. But then, please feel free to join in, but I would suggest maybe you actually want to stay seated as they sing it reflectively over us. And think of putting your own life in Christ and your own death in him, and the resurrection, new life that follows, and then we'll have communion.